Welcome to Shoresides, where we explore the coastal North Carolina region's past, present, and future to promote community resilience. Today, I speak with journalist Johanna Still from The Assembly about her recent article, Shrimpin' Ain't Easy. While many of us are sitting on the dock looking out, maybe eating shrimp, the shrimp industry is experiencing an existential threat. I'm your host, Ren Smith. Johanna, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And just to start out, can you tell us a little about what you do for The Assembly and just briefly describe for us what The Assembly is?
So I am The Assembly's Wilmington editor, and The Assembly is a digital magazine covering North Carolina. We cover mostly, we're known for our long form stories. We try to take big swings. We don't really chase a lot of the daily stuff. And so that allows us to spend more time on bigger stories and really try to tackle things that your traditional newsroom might not have the time or the resources to go after. And so in Wilmington, it's our first regional kind of outpost. And we produce a weekly newsletter called the Wilmington Dive. And then in addition to that, I try to crank out some longer form stories when I can.
And that led you to cover the story you're here to talk about. But before we get into that, I have to ask, are you a shrimp fan?
Yes, absolutely. I definitely like me some shrimp. And that's sort of part of why I started to look into this. I think that it started with a conversation with one of the sources in the story. And also, my husband is a very much a stickler for shrimp, making sure they're fresh. He's asked, you know, waiters at restaurants, where's this from? Or you know, you get served shrimp and it's, you can kind of tell it's not very fresh. And so that sort of had been on my radar. And then when I started going down and learning more information, I guess I was just struck by, oh, wow, this really is a thing. So yes, been around, you know, shrimp boils my whole life. And so shrimp is definitely around.
Okay, so the title of your article, which I love, is Shrimpin' Ain't Easy. Can you tell us a little about what life is like for a shrimper in coastal North Carolina?
I started off reporting this story, analyzing the data, and because I had been told that, you know, foreign imports were decreasing prices. And so I think my first instinct was to fact check that numerically. And so I started pulling all of the data that's available in North Carolina, did a bit of analysis, and I wanted to make sure that the numbers were adjusted for inflation. And so I pulled that for all the data that we have available back to, I think it was like the 70s. And it turns out that the overall claim was true. And not that that hadn't been already fact-checked by other, you know, organizations. I mean, the International Trade Commission agrees that the imports have depleted domestic prices. But independently, I just wanted to do it also in North Carolina. And so I looked at that data, visualized it, and I thought it was pretty striking that basically today, the prices that shrimp is being sold for is lower than, you know, what it was decades ago. And I also thought it was interesting that the fact that the amount of shrimp, that this isn't really correlated to, you know, what's available in the water. I guess you could think maybe, you know, oh, there's less shrimp out there, but that's also not the case. I guess, yeah, it was just very interesting to see that. And so, you know, I started looking at the numbers, and then you also see that the number of shrimpers who are participating in the industry itself have just also totally slid down. When you have people that aren't participating in the industry, and then they are also being sold for like a fraction of the cost that they were decades ago, I guess it just makes perfect sense that they, you know, they wouldn't want to continue. That was the beginning of the reporting, was really just looking at the numbers.
How does that work? Like, how exactly are domestic shrimpers being priced out? I know that there is a story that you give us about imports and exactly why those imports are cheaper, and how difficult that is to overcome.
So there are a few big reasons why imports are cheaper. And one of them being labor. So you've got cheaper labor overseas, depending on what country it is. And that a lot of that also has to do with the regulations in the specific countries. You've also got the countries giving them subsidies. And so those subsidies are, you know, they're state funded, or even there's international organizations that offer subsidies to produce the shrimp. A lot of the overseas production is what you'd call fish farming, shrimp farming, aquaculture. Basically, this is not, you know, in the ocean. These are farming operations, contained operations. And so you can really bulk up and control your circumstances there. But there's also a whole host of regulations involved that Americans face when we try to do shrimp farming here that other countries that we're talking about in particular, you know, their barrier to entry is much lower. And so for these reasons, that's how you get the much lower cost shrimp coming in to American borders. And when the shrimp comes in, you know, there are, you know, economic analyses, domestic shrimpers claim that the shrimp is being imported for a price that is even lower than what it would actually cost to produce it. And so that's when you get what we call these tariffs, anti-dumping duties that are imposed on these products. But the domestic shrimp industry says that even with these tariffs, it still has fundamentally changed the American marketplace and American consumers. If you're eating shrimp in America, basically you're more than likely eating imported shrimp, and that shrimp was more than likely grown on a shrimp farm.
Yeah, and that's a crazy wrinkle of the story, because you would imagine, particularly with the kind of focus we have on local food and wild food, that it would be more likely the case that people would really, you know, like prefer local shrimp to imported shrimp that's also, from what I understand from your article, usually farmed. But we have an upside down situation because of the price point, basically.
Right. And I might be totally naive, but as someone who grew up going to these kind of coastal waterfront restaurants, I think that, and this is what one of my sources said, is this is, it's almost the implication that they're local, right? You're looking at the water. It came from the water. Something local is on the menu. It might not. So you think that it's local, or you might not even think to ask, where is this coming from? But what I've learned through my reporting is that a lot of these restaurants are selling, you know, imported products because they're cheaper. And you've got maybe a local shrimper 10 miles away who's not even, they're not even in a business relationship. So, and it's just a very, I was personally shocked to learn more about that, these realities. Now, I mean, on the restaurant side, I'm sure, you know, restaurants, traditionally, they face really low margins, slim margins, and they probably have an economic reason for choosing the imported shrimp. It's probably easier. I know it comes in on big old blocks, big old frozen blocks. You can kind of order it. If you're ordering from one of these larger food distributors, it's just perhaps a lot easier and part of the routine. So that's an interesting part too. And then also maybe you have consumers who don't really know to ask, like me. I was naive. I didn't understand that it wasn't local. So, you know, there's this big confluence of factors, and the end result is that our domestic shrimpers in North Carolina and along the Gulf Coast and East Coast are basically saying that they are in disaster level of existence, and that they are going to be pushed out if something doesn't change soon.
Yeah, that's really interesting. There's almost like this seafood imaginary, you know, like the, you know, certainly I've eaten on the river walk, and then because of the proximity, just, you know, have the feeling of almost, you know, having this connection to communion with the ocean, when in actuality, there's this very complex network of activity behind, like, whatever plate of food I'm having. Yeah. So, yeah, that said, could you tell us a little about the Davises, who you focus on in the story, and their lives in Sneeds Ferry? What are they like? What's the community?
Absolutely. So Sneed's Ferry is this very small fishing community right outside of Jacksonville. And they are right on the Davises in particular. They are coastal, overviewing the New River. It's really beautiful. They've got these huge oak trees. From the oak trees, they've got these big old shrimp nets that are hanging. The Davises, they've been in business for forever. They've got generations that are shrimpers. And so this is their family business. They have signs at their business, Davis Seafood, that say, don't let friends eat imported shrimp. And I first came to know about the Davises because I was aware of some people who would drive. They would take a yearly trip to get, I think it was like 50 pounds of shrimp, and they would give it to their neighbors and their friends. And I just had never heard of somebody or people doing that. You know, I guess, you know, you may go to the local seafood retailer, get a few pounds at a time. But I thought that that was such an interesting way that they chose to stock up on shrimp for the season. And they're not a restaurant, just a regular person. And so, you know, I came to ask, why do you do that? And they love it. They thought it was just so fresh. It just made more sense for them. They froze it and it was just as good when they would use it, you know, a couple months later. And so they just swore by this family, the Davis Seafood family. And so when I heard about the, you know, the economic issues happening in North Carolina, they were the first shrimpers that I thought of. And I, you know, was like, I got to go check out these people and this, this operation. And so, you know, like I just mentioned, they do have a ton of business that is, like I just said, people who just, you know, swear by their product, they buy in bulk, and they are just regular people. So even though they have suffered economically some from the imported crisis, they aren't as in terrible shape as some of their peers, which is sort of interesting, but they still can speak to, you know, the dynamic changes and what's been going on. Because they aren't overly reliant on restaurants or some of these fish packing houses that, you know, they would, these institutions that would take the shrimp and maybe they bread it and then you go sell it to Costco or something like that. Because they aren't overly reliant on them, and because such a big bulk of their business is coming from retail, they are insulated somewhat from the issue, but that doesn't mean that they still haven't felt the effects of it.
Then there's also the shrimp disaster declaration. Could you tell us about that? And also kind of let us know where it is at this point as an effort.
So there are a lot of different kind of avenues that the shrimp industry is attempting to take to address their economic issues. And it can be, you know, pretty confusing overall. I'll start with the first one, which is the disaster declaration. So in North Carolina specifically, you've got five, I think, coastal counties that have passed resolutions requesting the governor's office to request the U.S. Secretary of Commerce to request a disaster declaration. So it's a little bureaucratic. It's a little bit of a roundabout thing, but it's just their strategic way to attempt to basically get Congress to appropriate money for their economic disaster. So basically, they're asking the powers that be, please declare that we are in an economic disaster so that we can get money to keep us afloat, right? And it's a similar kind of tactic that you would hear for like a hurricane. So when a hurricane comes, you have the government or, you know, some power that be says, this is a disaster, we're going to give you some funds. So that's what they're seeking, except for just these purely economic reasons, because it's not tied to a storm or something like that. Separately, you have some legislation coming through to try to get some of those revenues collected for the tariffs that are charged to countries that are importing shrimp at the cost that's cheaper than it is to produce it. So there's a handful of those countries that already are charged that tariff. That money right now doesn't go to local shrimpers. And that's something that really, you know, that's something that bothers them. They don't like that. So they want some of that money, not all of it, some of it. And so there is a bill that was filed last year, I believe. And our local congressman, Republican Representative David Rouser, he co-sponsored that bill in January. So it hasn't really moved yet. I know that it's in a subcommittee of the Agricultural Committee, which David Rosner is a part of, but it hasn't moved quite yet. But that is another option that's sort of on the table, or an attempt that's on the table. And there's also what's happening at the federal level, which is the International Trade Commission, which every 5 years has to do a review of these anti-dumping tariffs. And the industry is hoping to basically expand those tariffs, add a couple countries onto the list, and make things a little bit more, you know, rigorous for the countries that are attempting, or that are in prolific numbers, importing into the country. So there's a lot of different things going on in terms of movement, success rate. Right now, I think that the International Trade Commission's review is due in the fall. So that, I think, in terms of likelihood of moving or doing anything that would benefit the shrimp industry domestically, that seems to be the most likely and immediate path. And then the others are seemingly trekking along.
What's your sense of whether shrimping in North Carolina can survive, and if it does or doesn't, how does that play out?
That is a very interesting existential question, and I certainly don't know, right? I couldn't speculate as to whether they will survive or they won't. All I know is that the data is showing every year there's fewer and fewer North Carolinian licensed fishermen who are making shrimp sales. And then when you also look at the overall fishing data, that's getting more and more difficult as well. I think that what their general premise is that if nothing changes, we're going to continue facing issues. I mean, that seems to be, you know, accurate. If you just keep looking at the data, that's what the data shows. And what one of my sources said, who is the director of government relations at the North Carolina Fishing Association, that the real estate, basically, right? So if a shrimper goes out of business, that real estate is really valuable. It's coastal, and it's going to get turned into condominiums or something else. But I think that that argument is also interesting in itself, is that so if these numbers continue to go the way that they are, then the physical infrastructure that you would need to conduct this operation is also going to go away. So I don't know that it'll go extinct, but I do think that I see their argument holding some ground.
The way to tie treat that is, like, what do you see the cultural impact being?
This is more than an economic question. It's also a cultural one. And if we don't support the local shrimpers, then they are going to do other things. That real estate is going to change. And these, you know, these big shrimp boats that sort of define areas like Holden Beach or Sneed's Ferry, they won't have a reason to be in the water anymore. It's a very interesting international phenomenon, and it's really, if you, you know, sit down and think about it, a philosophical question too.
Thank you for taking the time to speak with us. This gives us something to think about while we watch boats head out from the coast each morning. That concludes our show. Remember, the stories we explore here shape the path ahead. I'm Ren Smith. Thanks for listening. Visit www.shoresides.org to learn more.